The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it was a tense weekend in sport. Rory McIlroy pipped at the post once again, having reached a playoff in the PGA at the BMW. John Stones getting Manchester's equaliser, City's equaliser in the dying minutes, dying seconds of that game. And Nathan Murphy was there.
Yeah, madness. In Manchester. It was one of the great Premier League games of recent times. It had absolutely everything. You'll forget that Manchester City for the first 20 minutes were probably as good as we've seen them for maybe 18 months. They ran riot. Erling Haaland scores in 8 minutes. 10 goals for the season. At that stage, it was 4 games in 8 minutes. He had managed to get a new record, 100 goals for Manchester City in 105 games. Like, we haven't seen this. Dixie Dean, like that. Sort of storybook stuff that you hear about from 100 years ago.
His goal was a splendid goal, actually.
Oh, it was City at their absolute finest. Savinho, another young player they brought in, plays the perfect ball, and he's just so clinical. He doesn't give a second thought to it. Toe pokes it past the keeper. And at that stage, you thought City could go and win this convincingly. But actually, one of the big stories that might come out of this game is that Rodri picked up an injury. And Rodri's, in all likelihood, going to be crowned World Footballer of the Year.
There was quite a long stoppage there. He did walk off, but he was gingerly walking off.
And often when it's a serious knee injury, you can walk off and it's the next day that you realise the full extent.
Sometimes you'd think these guys are bluffing, they're only taking a bit of a rest, but there were tears.
I think Rodri is not someone who, in a game of that magnitude, that is going to walk off the pitch unless there's a serious problem. But almost as a result of that and the constant stoppages, Arsenal get away back into the game, take a quick free kick. Manchester City are unhappy about this. The referee had called their captain, Kyle Walker, forward. He's not back in position. Arsenal are clinical. Calafiori, it's his first ever start in the Premier
League.
Brilliant goal. And from there, Arsenal set pieces. They've this guy, Nico Hjover, who's a set piece specialist, and they've scored 25 goals from set pieces since the start of last season. They won the North London Derby last week with a corner kick. Saka to Gabriel did the exact same thing. And suddenly it's all Arsenal. And then a moment of stupidity from Trossard.
Yeah, a second yellow card for kicking the ball away, it would appear.
For the second time in 3 games, this has happened to Arsenal.
So Trossard, the Tossard, basically.
You said it, Pat. incredibly stupid. And Arsenal, an opportunity to go and win at the Etihad. They haven't won there in almost a decade.
And they held off.
It's sort of gone. And
I mean,
the second half
it was the Alamo.
It was one of the most bizarre halves of football. In that Manchester City, at one stage in the second half, Manchester City had 97% possession. Arsenal, like, they defended heroically, bravely. They showed massive character to hold out. But I've rarely seen a top team approach a second half like that. And I think you'd have to give credit to Mikel Arteta. He's obviously watched Manchester City when they play against 10 men. It was all the centre-backs taking shots. Like Ruben Dias hasn't scored a goal in a couple of years, and he's taken 5-6 shots from the edge of the penalty area. But there was one moment I saw where Arsenal just cleared the ball up to the halfway line and two of their players went chasing it down and Mikel Arteta came storming out of his technical clearance and said,
go back, get back.
And until, what was it, 98 minutes,
John
it worked.
Stones,
But this is a rivalry now that is, you feel, really coming to life and up there with City, Liverpool, Arsenal, United.
Roy Keane after the game said, it wasn't that Arsenal played particularly well, blah, blah, blah. It was that City couldn't make their way through with 11 men against 10 and all their talent, they couldn't get through. And then they were moaning afterwards at the nature of Arsenal's defending valiantly at their goal and why shouldn't they down to 10 men? It was, why didn't you play outfield so we could score? This was the kind of moan from City.
You can understand City's frustration because they play against teams with, as they call it, a low block who sit back defensively quite a bit. But when you go up against one of the other title contenders, you expect them to come and try and play. But I do think Arteta had looked at what City would do and were more than happy to let the back three, Kovacic, Walker, have as much possession. And you have to remember in that second half, almost all the most talented players weren't on the pitch. Odegaard and Saka weren't there for Arsenal. De Bruyne, Foden, Grealish were... De Bruyne wasn't involved at all. Foden and Grealish came off the bench. Rodri wasn't there. So actually, if some of those were fit and available, I think City probably would have found a way. It would have been set up perfectly for Rodri. But Arsenal will take a huge amount of confidence, the fact they even came away with the point.
Other talking points of the weekend, of course, Manchester United only managing a scoreless draw in spite of playing rather well and the criticism of the selection by Ten Hag.
Yeah, Marcus Rashford was dropped. And Marcus Rashford has a bit of focal point for anger of Manchester United fans for quite a while now. But it does feel as though he's found a bit of form over the last couple of weeks. So something of a surprise to see him then rested.
And Ten Hag says it's rotation.
Well, exactly. But when Marcus Rashford's hot, maybe you're as well to keep on rolling with it and see how long it lasts. And you're right, they did play very well and they should have won the game and they hit the woodwork twice. But then also, Ibarrecha Eze missed an absolute sitter at the end. And that is the tightrope that Erik ten Hag is walking at the moment. If Eze scores that goal, again, we're talking about pressure, speculation, all of those things.
Now, moving on to golf and another cliffhanger, Rory actually levels with Horschel at the end. And then it goes to the third playoff hole.
Rinse and repeat from last week, Pat, the Rory McIlroy conversation. He is here for our entertainment, it seems. Like, week on week, there's few more engaging, engrossing figures in sport right now than Rory McIlroy.
But if you go to that third hole and you look at the two putts, Horschel was farther away than Rory McIlroy. McIlroy putts first, and he misses by inches.
He does, and probably a similar reaction and a similar space from the putt he missed on 18 at Royal County Down last week. It was a brilliant putt from Billy Horschel. It didn't feel as though McIlroy did very much wrong at all yesterday. He didn't miss any shots.
I mean, any one of us would have been proud of that putt that he made on the third playoff hole. It was so long and it only just squeaked past.
Yeah, and Billy Horschel was probably the other class act in the field this week. It was brilliant, brilliant drama. But it is just... I think most people are feeling sorry for Rory McIlroy at this stage. I know this country's had a complicated relationship with him. It does feel there's a real goodwill towards McIlroy. Everyone just wants him to get over the line at some stage from US Open, Olympics, Irish Open, what happened yesterday. Just give him a break. But I don't think he did very much wrong at all. He just needs that putt to drop.
Now, the URC began and Munster edged out Connacht 35-33 and Leinster, who looked to be home and hosed for a while, but Edinburgh came back and Leinster beat them by 33-31. It was tight at the end.
Yeah, I was just saying to Alan Quinlan outside, I was surprised by the crowd at Thomond Park. Generally, in most sports, the start of the season, there's such anticipation and such build-up that it's almost your biggest attendance. Yeah. Everybody wants to be there for the first night, whereas the rugby is definitely a slow burner. We have these never-ending seasons now, but Munster... they showed a lot of grit because Connacht had that game won on several occasions. Four times Munster had to come behind and eventually managed to eke it out. Leinster at this stage, there's a bit of mixing and matching and you're going to see a couple of the young guys coming through from the academy. Some of the old heads are still there. Leinster, Munster's on in a couple of weeks' time at Croke Park. It feels like that's the real start of the URC season.
And finally, we should talk about the Formula One and Lando Norris did the business, but unfortunately for him, Verstappen came second. So... The haul of points he might have hoped for did not materialise. The gap is not greatly diminished.
No, Lando Norris was on pole position and I think it was the first time in five races when he's held pole. He's also been in front after the first lap and he was totally commanding. It was probably as commanding a victory as Lando Norris has ever had. But the fact that Verstappen stayed with him means he needs a race where he gets the victory and something happens for Verstappen. Now, maybe Max Verstappen, the story and the talking point of the weekend was Max Verstappen said something a little bit naughty in his pre-race press conference and was basically fined by the FIA and has taken umbrage with this and gave one-word answers then for the rest of the weekend and very frustrated and has raised questions about his future in the sport. If they don't want my personality, they don't want me and all of this.
What personality, say I?
Well, it's eight races now without a win for Max Verstappen. But as we've said a few times over the last few weeks, the victories have been split here, there and everywhere. So Lando Norris needs a win and Verstappen not to finish a race.
Nathan, thank you very much.
Thanks,
for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.